Blog Talk Radio. those of you that have lost loved ones. But if today's your birthday, happy birthday also. But I'm not going to just ramble on because we have so much to talk about in so little time. Definitely want to talk about the new team and also talk about the NBA. And next Friday, definitely would try to talk more about poker because I talked about poker yesterday. And so talk about, you know, poker, gaming. My favorite player happens to be David Williams. There's some popular female players. Maybe I can get an interview, get David or a couple other faves of you all's and an expert, a poker expert online to talk with us. Okay, but without further ado, let's just get the party really started here today on Sports Friday Edition. But also, before going any farther, also, I want to say my apologies for not broadcasting live on Friday, last Friday, May 11th, due to my fault. You know, but today's show is going to be awesome forever. I have not rescheduled Kev and Ted. You know, they might be a little pissed at me for not airing live. But if it's in my power, it would not happen again because it's not a good look and it's real important. So as soon as they're rescheduled, I'll let you all know. And I hope you all have been enjoying the show. And don't miss tomorrow, don't miss Monday, and definitely don't miss next Wednesday if you enjoyed this past Wednesday show because Belinda Bostic of Summer Parties by BelindaBostic.com will be returning, and we're going to be talking more about adding creativity to your intimate life, to your sex life. So now is really time to hear what Red Roughneck has to say. And Cousin Linda, if she might want to say a word or two. But also, speaking of Reggie's, you all must tune into Kelly, Life with Kelly this morning, because my brother, Reggie Bush, will be co-hosting with Kelly this morning. So I just wanted to let you all know this. Okay, so thank you. What's up, Reg Roughneck?
Good morning, Bethany. How you doing?
Doing great. How are you?
Well, I'm well today. I'm feeling optimistic and upbeat. I have a little personal projects that I'm constantly working on right now. But, you know, like I said, that's another subject to discuss. But, yeah, but like I said, but it's a great day. It's a good morning. And my cousins from Alabama came into town. We went out to eat last night. We had a great time. And
shout out to the place. If you love the food, where eatery did you go to?
Furs. Furs Buffet, right there on I-20 in Wheatland. Yeah. I hogged out on that one.
And you did. So you told him you would be returning, huh?
Oh, well, I never left, honestly. like I said, they didn't open up a day. This was the first time I've been to this particular Furs restaurant, but they are starting to open a few in the Dallas, Fort Worth area. So, you know, I guess we do a little shameless plug for Furs. So, hey, that's like I said, that's
how
a
do you spell
man's
it?
Best friend.
How do you spell it?
Furs. Furs.
Okay.
All right. Just,
okay.
It's just
well,
fur with two R's on it. Yeah.
Okay, Furs. I've heard of Furs. Mm, and what did you eat? What was on the menu?
Everything. I ate some tilapia, had some steak, had some Spanish rice, mashed potatoes, some corn, more steak. And they had Alaskan whitefish. You know, like I said, it was like a cornucopia of dining right there. So you just
wow. So thumbs up. That's a good review. We were talking about restaurant reviews yesterday. One of my chat room friends yesterday told me that he had gone to his friend's sister in his restaurant, and he said the food wasn't good. And he wanted to tell the friend the food wasn't good, but he wanted to know how to tell the friend. And I said, first talk about the good points and then tell your friend that the food could be better. But it sounds like first is, gets, what, 5 stars and a thumb up?
Oh, yeah, top notch, top notch, mwah. One episode.
Wow, man.
So
that's amazing news. So thumbs up. See, you all didn't know we were Epicureans also. Well, we are. So beware.
Well, I am a true connoisseur of food, liquor, and beer.
Me too. Hey, Cousin Linda also. So I'm going to go ahead and chime my Cousin Lynn on because she wants to say a few things. She's in Big D with you also, Reg Roughneck, my Cousin Linda, who is the author of Myrna's Adventure. And she's an Epicurean also, and she travels a lot and like to she also writes for she share her reviews with TravelAdvisor.com also. But here's my Cousin Linda so I can properly introduce you to, even though you two are in the same metroplex area.
No. Yeah, it's a large area. We don't know everybody.
Like everybody probably ask you, do you know Mark Cuban? Hi, Cousin Linda.
What's up, Cousin Beth?
What's
Hi,
up?
Rich Roughneck.
What's up there, Linda?
Hi.
Yeah. Welcome to Sports Friday.
Yeah, thank you. I've been to First. They have one not far from where I live. They do have good food, especially the fried chicken.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Beth,
okay.
How do you know about First?
I know about First. I've never eaten at First, and I don't think we have one, but you know Flowood or Madison would definitely get a First if it probably working on a First.
Yeah, because
they're
a lot
like
of
restaurants galore. Jackson should try to get a First then, beat them to it.
Yeah, a lot of the restaurants that are headquartered over here used to be in Jackson, and there's some of them are still there, like Chili's and Outback and everything. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, they have a First not far from me, and I don't know if they still have the one in Irving Mall. I ate over there, and they had good food, reasonably priced, too.
See, that's good. First, hey, look like you and Reg, and me included when I come to Dallas-Fort Worth, look like someone would be getting some free meals soon. Our free something from YouTube reviews. All right. So, Cousin Linda, you provided me with some information that I did not know about. So you would like to elaborate on this, what's coming to Jackson?
The basketball team?
Yes, ma'am.
I figured you knew since you're so into sports, but I got an email
from
LBP.
Exactly.
Yeah, you know,
the
you told me that a lot of stuff.
It was the firing of Clinton High School's longtime, if I'm not mistaken, baseball coach. But, no, and usually I do hear about new semi-teams because we had a semi-basketball team and also we have a semi-football team called the Juggernauts. But, no, this is new news to me, and I'm familiar with a couple of the guys. Just by looking at the pictures of that you emailed me. But go ahead and elaborate, because I just opened the email and literally was planning on reading it on air. But since you're here, you can tell the listeners what's up with a new semi-pro basketball team coming to Jacktown.
Well, you caught me off guard. I thought when I sent you the email that you'd have all the information. Like I said, I just got it from WLBT News yesterday.
Uh-huh.
And that's all I have is that they're coming.
Okay, well, here it is. I do have it pulled up. Come to Jackson. This is courtesy of Cousin Linda and Jackson Free Press. I told you all to check out our local media. And Jackson Free Press, to us, is like the Dallas Observer is to Big D. And in November, Jackson's new semi-pro basketball team would take to the court as a member of the American Basketball Association. So that's a big deal. This is really legit. Grant Worsley III, the Jackson Showboats co-owner and general manager, introduced the players for the team's inaugural season on Thursday at Mississippi Basketball and Athletics. Five players have joined the team, including former Jackson State University player Jertavian Blake, ready to take on the city and try to lead the city to a championship, Blake said. This is just a starting point for me. It's going to help me be a better basketball player. Detrick Slater, a former Mississippi State standout, also made the team. Slater played guard and forward for the Bulldogs 2003 to 2007 and averaged more than 10 points per game in his junior and senior seasons. This is the greatest opportunity that I've had yet other than being a Bulldog, Slater said. Since being on this team, it's kind of made me a better person because basketball is back to my main focus. And the mayor, whom I love so much, Jackson Mayor Harvey Johnson Jr., cut the ribbon at the introduction and presented Worsley with a plaque. And without our support, they will not be successful, Johnson said. So let's get out and support this team. Let's make sure that they are successful. And the article is not long, so I'm almost through, but I know many of you want me to finish what I started. Worsley said he and co-owner Stephen Parham chose to start a team in Jackson because it is a passionate sports town with plenty of untapped talent, and that is so true. I mean, this is a sports state. This is a sports city, really, and we're definitely into student athletics, and we like to see student athletes advance into the pros. We love it, love it, love it. So that's just perfect. We want to focus really on having high-level competitive basketball that the city can get behind, the fans can stand behind, and people can be excited about, Worsley said. The Showboats will continue to look for more talent to join the team between now and the start of the season in November. Chris Heitch, a former Provine standout and JSU player. I can't pronounce this, New York City.
Iron DeQuat. I know
I
just killed that.
Thank you, Cousin Linda. Native Van Foley, who played college basketball at Roberts Westland in Rochester, New York, and Meridian native Chris Leggett, who played at Troy University, round out the current team roster along with Slater and Blake. The ABA, not affiliated with the former ABA that merged with the NBA in 1976, includes more than 70 teams from nearly every region of the country, including teams from Chicago, San Francisco, New Jersey, Arizona, Richmond, Virginia, and Little Rock, Arkansas. That is just awesome, awesome news. And thank you, Cousin Linda, for providing us with this info. If I did not, yeah, you would think I would know, but I didn't, especially an event that the mayor was part of also. So that's just amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Wish them much luck. Yeah, the news I was talking, so that means that they're still trying out, guys, that they're still seeking for talent. So you all contact them and see when they're working out so you can work out with them and try out those of you that think you have what it takes. I know that you have what it takes to be a part of that team because I definitely wanted to promote some info that the NBA sent me, and the D-League is in the midst of tryouts right now, sponsored by Boost Mobile. And their tagline is, think you have what it takes to make it in the NBA D-League? So they're having tryouts because I was going to say my nephew definitely need to try out. But my nephew, hey, I don't know. I was like, because he's very talented. He played basketball from day to night. He's definitely good. He's like a Jeremy Lin. I haven't watched him recently, but those of you that go up to Heiko Park, you all know what I'm talking about because you see him live in action. But Have you been keeping up with the NBA, Cousin Lynn? I know, I forgot Reg Roughneck, cousin. I know you have Reg Roughneck.
In what way? I was just a little distracted. I'm looking at this news brief right now.
Something about the Sanders? Cousin Lynn.
No, not that one. But what I do know about is that they have reached a settlement.
Okay. Did you get some more information regarding alimony?
Well, no, she doesn't. She won't. She will not be getting any alimony.
So the agreement was. Oh yeah, because we haven't talked about this on air. We only talked about this in private conversations. So what was the agreement between Pilar and Deion Sanders?
Well, Deion will be paying her $10,500 for a month for child support. She'll resume custody of the boys after the school year, and then also Deion will have to chip in $3,500 on her home that she's going to be moving to in Salina, Texas, which is not too far from Prosper.
Yeah.
And which was definitely a far cry from what she wanted. I mean, she wanted like $25,000 a month. Plus, she wanted a $500 allowance for the kids' lunches. She also wanted an additional $900 for entertainment purposes. She wanted an additional let's see if I recall all this perfectly. Haircuts was going to be like $450 a month for the kids. You know, I mean, what she had in mind, she was looking at trying to get him for at least 35, maybe 40 G a month. But she wound up only getting about close to 15 G a month. So.
Because I hear that his prenup was like ironclad. Tom Drennan talked about that on his show a couple weeks ago. So pretty much his prenup stayed intact. In other words, so that's what it sounds like.
Hey, Beth.
But I said alimony was in his prenup, but because of the way they've been showing out.
Yeah, Beth, I sent you the email. Money
for her.
If you scroll through some of your old emails, because as soon as it appeared on the news, I sent it out to everybody.
Did you send a copy of the prenup?
No, the settlement agreement of what Pilar had asked for and what she'll actually get. Because Reg Roughneck said, she didn't get anywhere near what she was requesting, which I thought was ridiculous in the first place. But, you know, the attorneys, they're going to try to get for everything they can. And Dion had to pay the attorneys, her attorneys, too, $275,000.
Okay, because I know
that's
my mom had heard that he had to pay $35,000 in legal fees. And then Reggie said what you just said. And then Reg and I was, like, hoping that that meant both of their legal fees. Is that for her legal fees?
I think it said hers were $275,000.
Right. It did say that. And I was, like, floored.
That's quite a few billable hours for something to have occurred as quickly as it did.
Wow.
Maybe they charge like $1,000 an hour or something. I mean, you're
In fact, they probably charge a little more. They probably charge like $2,750 an hour on this case.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, hey, all I can say is to whomever the attorneys are, they should be taking their parents out for taking care of their college tuition and everything, for going to law
school. And a lot of other things, retirement. That's why my attorney out there in Big D, earlier this week, he was like, let the gays get married. More for us divorced attorneys. More money for us. So shout out to Jay out there in Big D. But because divorces are something. And wow, then that's a high-profile marriage. But I was just shocked when I heard that they were divorced. And I wasn't, like, shocked, but they definitely was, like, the picture of a perfect couple. They were on my perfect couple, favorite couple list. And I was just surprised when it turned out not being a civil divorce also.
Yeah.
No, it was anything but civil.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, but the whole bottom line is the fact that, you know, I mean, what we see on TV is always not what you see once the camera and the lights are out. I mean, it seemed like it was a lot of tumultuousness. I'm trying to get the words out. it was just really bad how things were going on back then. I mean, like I said, I'm not going to particularly take sides on any situation because I'm sure there's about 10 or 12 things Pilar can say about Dion that were right, and I'm sure there's about 10 or 12 things he can say about her that was right.
Mm-hmm.
But the bottom line is, you know, how you start and how you finish in a marriage is always two totally different episodes.
Yeah, because Reg and I, like many of you probably was wondering, even though I've been a big fan of Pilar and a big supporter, I like networking with her. Haven't been tweeting with her recently, though, but because she always tweet out, like, very encouraging, you know, quotes and her own quotes and so on. And but Reg and I was wondering, like, where is she from? And so we found out that she's a native of what, Reg, a New Jersey town?
No, Elmira, New York, if I recall. That's upstate New York, kind of up close to, like, Syracuse, New York.
And some people, like always wondering, what is her nationality? She's black and Filipino. So we're just answering a couple questions that a lot of you ask yourself. So she's Filipino and black and so on. But, wow, that's just amazing. So we have about 10 more minutes. Is there anything else you all would like to talk about before we get into NBA, the NBA playoffs?
Well, one of the things I also wanted to mention was the fact that, Jonathan Vilma has filed a defamation of character lawsuit against Roger Goodell for alleging that he was staking the bounty program and everything, as they, you know, I'm doing that with those quotations on my fingers, the bounty program that they had in New Orleans. So I think that's a good way for Vilma to try to offset his year-long suspension.
Exactly.
So,
oh, my God. Don't get Stephen A. Smith stirred up with ESPN. He and Skip Bayless were debating about that yesterday, about how the Saints have been treated and the punishment, and talking about my friend Mickey Loomis and how he should be the one that should have been suspended also a year, along with Coach, and Vilma shouldn't have been suspended a year. You know, so, wow. So that is defamation of character, I guess, if you know it's not true.
The biggest argument I've had, I'm sure you know, I have not been shy of the words that I wanted to use about this whole situation, is the fact that, you know, I mean, when you suspend a player for a year, you've taken a year away from his life and his career. Whereas an executive, on the other hand, I mean, he can invest 30 to 40 years into his craft. The football players don't have that type of time.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, if this man sits out a whole year, you know, that's really gonna be a detriment to his career, because he's out there and he's not playing, he could lose his spot. Then he has to start all over with another team the following season.
And that's where the defamation of character comes into play, because that can ruin his reputation and pretty much blacklist him in the league. Athletes
exactly.
Get blacklisted too. So, yeah, some other teams might not want to touch him.
Exactly. So, yeah, so with that in mind, he definitely has a lot to ponder and consider getting a – oh, I'm looking at – like I said, I'm talking to you guys, but I'm also looking at some of the highlights from the Heat and the Pacers game. And
yeah, that's
going to be
Mike and Mike this morning about Wade's knee.
Well, I'm looking at how some of the Indiana Pacers players was taunting the Heat players by putting the choke sign up on them. So I'm sure it's going to be good fodder for their next game. I think their next game is Sunday, if I'm not mistaken. So
Let's see. I'm looking at my information. Yeah, I think it is Sunday. Sunday at 3:30 p.m. Eastern Time on ABC. Indiana leads 2-1, and San Antonio leads 2-0. And their game 3 is going to be tomorrow at 3:30 Eastern Time on ABC. Boston leads 2-1, and their game 3 is tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern Time on ESPN.
I'll be watching.
And all of you know Oklahoma City is leading, and their game 3 is tonight at 10:30 p.m. Eastern Time on ESPN. And then I'm looking at something about they play again on Saturday. They're not playing Friday and Saturday, are they? Sunday,
well,
the Lakers.
I don't know about that part. What I was going to add is that I think these next 3 days for the Heat is going to give these guys time to kind of rest up and get a little bit refocused on how they're going to make their adjustments with Bosch's absence, because, you know, it's like Indiana's like shark smelling blood in the water. They're going for the kill now, so
Indiana's
that's going to be
looking
a very
like
good
a,
game.
You know, I haven't had an opportunity to really look at the games the way I should. I've always been a big fan of Indiana, even though I love the Heat. Indiana beginning to look like the Indiana back when Reggie Miller played with them, huh?
Well, that's not all that they're missing. I mean, I'm sure if you can get Reggie to come out of the booth and start jacking threes, you may have something. Because, I mean, that's just one of those type of guys that, you know, if he got a phone call from the office and say, "Hey, Reg, we need you to help us out," you know, I mean, I'm sure Reggie could just go ahead and resuit back up and could go back out there and start hitting just like he always hit.
Exactly, like you and I always talk about Troy Aikman, Cousin London. Don't you believe Troy Aikman still has it? So I believe Reggie and Troy Aikman, Michael Irvin, put them back in uniform.
Oh, yeah.
Those guys still have it.
Yeah,
well, Mike beg to differ on that last part, but I'm sure that I'm sure that as far as Troy Aikman goes, I mean, he will probably he'll probably consider it for a while, but then heck, it's been almost, I mean, it's hard to believe it's been almost 10 years since Aikman played his last game.
Yeah, but he still has it. What were you about to say, Cousin Linda?
Oh, no, I was just going to say the guys that you named, Troy Aikman and Michael Irvin, were some of the all-time best to me in the NFL. They really had talent.
Recently, like in the past month, you probably heard this, Cousin Linda, because you might have sent me an email, too, about this. Troy Aikman says that Tony Romo is a better player than him.
I don't agree with that. I guess maybe Troy Aikman was just being kind.
I don't either. I think Darryl Woodson, he didn't agree with that either. And recently, a lot of sports analysts.
I don't think anybody agreed with that.
Romo is the top five. And they're like,
no way. I think Tony Romo, I think, is overpaid for what he does.
Thank you. I love Tony Romo, but something's not happening.
No,
well,
if you don't have it, you just don't have it.
All right, that's true, but I think my biggest thing about Tony Romo is the fact that he has had more chances as far as being a starting quarterback on any team, much less my beloved Cowboys, to still be out there playing or trying to win because, hey, other quarterbacks have gotten cut for less reasons, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, Jerry has really rolled with this guy more than he's ever had a lot of players. Huh?
Who's his backup quarterback? Because we're not saying necessarily cut him, but he definitely needs some assistance.
Kyle Orton. I think they signed Kyle Orton to be a backup.
So
and then, of course,
responsibilities.
Of course, Stephen McGee. Stephen McGee, the young guy from, he's from Texas A&M. Yeah, he's the third quarterback. My biggest point of contention with Tony Romo is the fact that he's been the starting QB for 6 years, and you know it's hard to believe 6 years have gone by that fast. And I think what's so funny is how ESPN every now and then just gotta bring back him flubbing that kick in Seattle from 2007 season. They still bringing that one up.
Well, ESPN been on blast. I can't believe it. Jameer Hill, Stephen A. Smith, they've been going, and many others have been honest, and others on other shows have really been honest about he should be doing better. But this is serious business. I'm surprised that Jerry Jones is...
I will give him a pass for last season because the whole team just tanked out. After Thanksgiving, they just totally tanked out. And that's always been one of my biggest gripes about the Cowboys in general for the past 5-6 seasons. Like, they go into the Thanksgiving Day game looking like contenders, and then end up becoming intenders after the fact. So, they just flatten out. Yes.
Do you think that part of the Cowboys' problem is Jerry Jones?
I'm gonna put it to you like this. The biggest problem ain't so much necessarily Jerry Jones. I think the biggest problem is the fact that the team does not fear their job like they once had at one point in time. Because when Jimmy was the coach and everything, those guys feared their job. Everybody knew that if you screwed up, you was two plays away from being on the bench and then getting cut. You know, you could get. I mean, if Jimmy was pissed, he could cut you before you even got back on the plane to fly back. He'll probably tell you, hey, here's a plane ticket. You fly back on a charter jet, you're not taking this jet.
You're belonging to you, huh?
Right.
Yeah, Jimmy Johnson, was like no nonsense. He didn't accept excuses. I remember they were practicing one day, and some guy was about to pass out because he had asthma, and Jimmy Johnson was like, there's no excuse. And I said, but the poor man has asthma.
He said asthma, my bleep, the asthma field is over there on that side. And he was really pointing, like, he said the asthma field, it was like over here, and his thing was, so what he was doing was pointing back to the locker room. You can go there and have your asthma attack. You know, I love Jimmy's ruthlessness.
Me too. I really did.
I mean, I wish he was still coaching now. I mean, I'm always saying, till you can get a coach better than Jimmy Johnson, okay, fine. The closest thing they've had was Parcells, but, you know.
I like Barry Switzer even.
I did too.
Switzer was a nice change of pace, but Switzer basically won Jerry's argument that he could have got 500 coaches to win a Super Bowl with the personnel they had at the time. And they did, but, you know, but the problem with Barry Switzer was the fact that he fell out of grace with Troy Aikman. That was one of those behind-the-scenes type of scenarios that wound up pretty ugly between them, and then the team just quit after that. That was a time when the team just committed a mutiny and just wanted Barry out. So that's basically what happened in that scenario. But as for the rest of the coaches they had since then, okay, that's like a trivia question.
Exactly.
Yes.
Right. Yeah, Chan Gailey was right after Switzer, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was Gailey. Then they put Dave Campo in as the coach, and Campo was a great, he was a great assistant coach, but as a head coach, he just wasn't taking the losing serious enough for me. That's the thing that annoyed me about Campo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, remember the Cowboys' motto or slogan or whatever it used to be when they had Tom Landry, the only coach the Cowboys have ever had. And
I'm glad you mentioned that because I love me some Tom Landry. Oh, my God.
It seems like now, every few years, they're getting a new coach.
Exactly. Well, we're running out of time, you all. So any last comments? About a minute.
Not for me. I'm finished.
Rich?
Well, I was just going to say that this next game that the Heat has, that's going to make or break this playoff run, because you know that the haters and naysayers are circling the sinking ship with the Heat right now.
Buzzing,
if they go down 3-1, they're going to really be starting to dance on LeBron's head.
Wow, like buzzes. So I want to shout out to Drew Brees also. Drew, praying for you and loving your brother. I'm praying for you all, for you to go ahead and get your new contract.